Welcome back to Cinebrüder, and today is a special day. This is the first episode of Cinebrüder International. Every once in a while we will produce an episode in English for our non-German speaking listeners or just supporters who want to listen to an episode in English once in a while. And for this special occasion we invited a special guest. And please welcome Christian Springer from New Jersey, America. Christian, thanks a lot that you followed our invitation.
Very happy to be here.
I forgot. So the Cinebrüder International specials are hosted by me, Christoph, because Niels isn't that into meeting international guests, I suppose.
Yeah, from what I understand, Niels hates me.
yeah, maybe we can that settle later. In these special episodes, we want to talk about a specific film. We want to keep it short, 15 minutes, 20 minutes tops. And Christian, you just saw a film that premiered in the UK last year, I think Christmas 2018. Huge success. I don't know if it premiered in America yet. However, it premiered in Germany last week. I'm speaking of They Shall Never Grow Old, the documentary about the First World War, produced, directed, and I don't know what else, by Peter Jackson. Christian, what are your impressions? What are your thoughts on They Shall Never Grow Old?
Yeah, so it was incredible. I went into it knowing that there would be colorized footage, but then I completely forgot when I sat down to watch. And so, you know, if you've seen it, you'll see, and I, spoiler alert, a good chunk of the very beginning is black and white. It's a old aspect ratio, the square footage, just fast paced, you know, just antique footage. And then all of a sudden, you know, it goes 16 by 9, it pushes in, and then the colors just pop. And I was amazed. I was absolutely amazed. Because again, like, I knew it was in color. Like, I knew, like, oh, this is Christian. Go see this movie, this documentary about World War One. It's in color. And then, like, you actually see it, and, like, it's incredible. You're transported. You're transported 100 to over 100 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we should first start with working out our microphone situation. And then we should explain a little about the history of the film. So, yeah, you mentioned already they took archive footage of First World War. And we see British soldiers. And it is narrated by 5 or 6 veterans.
No, not 5 or 6. I mean, dozens. I'm pretty sure dozens.
Okay.
And their names are listed at the end. They're strung together to create a narrative for the entire film.
Yeah. So they took the archive footage with its black and white. It's silent. I think you all know what we're talking about. We're talking about the footage you see in regular documentaries. And what Peter Jackson and his team did, they colorized it, and I think they lip-synced it, if that's the right term. I'm looking at you, lip-sync?
Lip-sync? Oh, well, we're talking about two different things. Not only was the footage colorized, but it was sound engineered. Incredibly well.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think they how are these guys called who are, you know, you just look at your lips moving and they know what you're talking.
Oh, lip readers. Yeah. I mean, sure, they must have employed the use of lip readers to fill in some of the silent footage with what the subjects were probably saying when the footage was taken.
Yeah. And so we just follow these veterans from the very beginning of the war. They enlisted. They are very happy, cheerful to go into war.
I mean, from the beginning, the idea is underage teenage boys were enlisting, and they really hit that point hard. And
oh, yeah, isn't it incredible when the one guy tells us that he was like 15 years old by the time, and so he went to this office, and the I don't know, lieutenant, sergeant, whatever, said, "Oh, how old are you? I'm turning 16 next week. Oh, maybe come back and say you're 19 or have
come back after you've had a couple more birthdays."
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Literally walked back in and enlisted. And that was true for, you know, I don't know, thousands of soldiers, probably both in Britain, Germany, certainly true for the United States. And then you think, well, you know, these would be the ones, if they survived the war, maybe they would be the ones that lasted the longest, died the latest in their old age. But so, you know, from the very beginning, they're like, yeah, this was a war being fought between, you know, technically men, yes, but really people younger than, you know, these teenagers younger than I am now, which is insane to think about.
Yeah, so then they are moving to the actual battlefront in Belgium. And what I found quite interesting were these little anecdotes, little stories about their everyday life at the battlefront. The major part of the movie isn't about fighting. It's about how they lived there, how they survived.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's not something we think about, especially 100 years later, where I think we're a lot more familiar with modern warfare in a way, the use of drones, and we don't really think of hand-to-hand combat. But the point is, there was downtime. There was plenty of time that they weren't shooting at each other. And they had to fill that time. So it was either, and we're talking now, so, you know, enlisted, they were sent, and now they're in the trenches. There was downtime that they had to fill. And most striking was that they were not in constant combat, yes, but their demeanor, they just, the entire, it's very British, you know, they took it in stride. They literally, in the documentary, they said that the soldiers narrating, there was a job to do and they did it. And that was what got them through, whether they were climbing out of the trench and advancing and trying to capture and then push back the German line, or whether they were just trying to kill time. It's like they, again, just, it's such a well-done documentary because they say it. They say, back in those days, the men, or men in general, did as they were told and they didn't question it. And so no matter what they were doing, whether they were fighting, whether they were playing cards, whatever, living in these terrible conditions, they just did it.
Yeah, you mentioned a very Britishness in this documentary, and what popped up in my head was the numerous stories about how they boiled tea. So they use everything to make tea.
Yeah, and you know, having a cup of tea in their downtime, yeah. Or
so the one guy said, "Oh yeah," and I was shot in my belly, and yeah, the I don't know, one guy gave me a cup of tea and that's it. Amazing. Okay, two things I want to discuss the effects, especially the explosions. One of the explosion I'm talking about is already in the trailer. I'm talking about this massive explosion. I think it's from a mine.
Yeah, the German one.
Doesn't it look amazing? Brilliant.
What that
the amazing explosion?
Of course, yeah. And well, that they were able to colorize it, yeah. And in a, it doesn't look cartoonish. Yeah.
And that leads me to my point. Did you have the impression that they might have used some CGI?
I wanted to say no. I think CGI, we think of Toy Story and Pixar films, and so I'm not using technical language here, but I would say no, there was no CGI. Now, we're computers employed in the colorization process, probably. I'm not familiar with modern colorization practices, but no, I think maybe what made it look a little CGI was you're taking film and putting it on that giant screen, so you do lose detail, and then you color it in, and you know, certainly it's this footage when colorized, it looks like something that you could make from scratch on a computer. But no, I really don't think CGI was used. Of course, it's something we can Google.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I followed a discussion about this documentary. Another German cinema show, and they had this short discussion about do we actually need those documentaries, because they had the impression they might promote war, they might promote First World War. Do we need that? And maybe it's, I mean, I know what you're going to say, it's very German to have this discussion, but yeah, what are your thoughts? Do we need this documentary?
Oh, where do I begin? I'm glad I didn't watch this. Glad I can't speak fluent German. No, I'm not. I wish I could. No, that's so wrong. The assertion that this documentary is glorifying war, it does the exact opposite of that. To hear from the soldiers themselves that the war was pointless, that war in general is pointless. It's the assertion that it's glorifying war, that's insane.
I mean, they do it a little. I mean, I think it's in the very first minutes of this film where one of the veterans says, oh yeah, I mean, it was horrible, terrible, whatsoever, but under no circumstances I don't want to miss that.
Okay, yes, because they survived. There's no such thing as a time machine. You can't go back in time and change it. Everyone has to live with their past. And the only way these soldiers could live with their past is accepting it. And it's possible to accept it without glorifying it. And additionally, not only do they say war is pointless, they say all of their romantic beliefs about warfare were just gone. Because, again, I mean, that was what, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what made World War I such a different war, was we were coming into a new century, but people still had their old beliefs about war, where it was like, oh my God, I'm so proud, my son is going to war, like, I hope he dies, because that's going to make us proud. Like people did have, not literally, but people had romantic beliefs, this is what I understand, people had romantic beliefs about warfare, you know, this 17th, 18th century idea that, like, war was this thing that we just had to do, and, you know, and World War I changed that. I think there should be more documentaries like this. Really, I do.
Okay, yeah, I would agree. So what this documentary actually does is taking this chapter of history, which is little known for our generation, because there aren't such things as archive, like really good archive footage, you know, when we're talking about World War II or the Vietnam War. There are a bunch of snippets you can watch and see, oh yeah, that was horrible. So I think Peter Jackson did a good job. His whole team did. But I have to admit, it has this very weird, I don't know how to put it in words, but see, the British, they have this really weird relationship to the First World War. When you're in Britain, you see a lot of these signs with a soldier who's wearing these First World War uniform. You see the sign a lot in Britain, and they commemorate it in a kind of fetishized way. I just wanted to say, and this documentary has this whole vibe, and at the end of the film, oh yeah, this is dedicated to my great grandfather who fought in this war. I mean, he's from New Zealand.
What's your point?
My point is that it might not glorify war, but it's thanks. It's I don't know. It is from a German perspective. It's hard to see this documentary without. You don't have someone. There's no narrator to give you a comparison.
Well, it's not just the German perspective and the British perspective and the American perspective, or we're dealing with many perspectives. There's the perspectives of the soldiers that I think is honestly the most important. This is a British documentary about British soldiers, but it's arguably also about the German soldiers. And the general theme at the end was this war is pointless, and that we British are about the same as those Germans. We're the same people. Why are we fighting? So I would summarize as that was the perspective of the soldiers. War is pointless. We're the same people. Why are we fighting? That's the perspective of the soldiers. Then they even go further and they talk about the civilians back in Britain when they went back. And I mean, imagine people didn't talk about the war. That would be unimaginable today. That would be unimaginable. When someone dies in the Middle East, we automatically know on our phones, our ability to know what's happening. I mean, well, that's not to get too political, but we have technology, we have the internet, we have film and television and mass media and the internet, but it was entirely different 100 years ago. And they really made us aware in this documentary that, oh my God, they were gone from home for 4 years. And when they got back, people didn't even care. There was some line, and I forget what it was, but it was like after 4 years, one of the soldiers came back and someone made some remark like, oh, you know, where have you been? You know, like very flippant. So, so then you say the German perspective. And I think, yes, after time, the war becomes romanticized by the general public because, well, we won the war. Well, you know, if you weren't a veteran, I mean, your country won, but I mean, there's that push and pull, and it's true in Germany, between the individual soldier, the soldiers who are actually doing the fighting, and the country at large. And that is the difference between German culture and British culture, but that's more of what has developed over time, I think. At the time the war ended, all the soldiers, no matter where they were from, were happy the war was over. I really think, yeah, this documentary did not romanticize war whatsoever.
Okay, and on that note, we stop our discussion. Maybe a few last sentences. Would you recommend the documentary?
Oh, of course. Oh, my God. Now, I kind of ranted, so for our last sentences, tell me more about what you were saying quickly about your view of World War One, among what you think British people view World War One as, or probably World War Two as well, right? Or
So what the British often do is they romanticize World War One. You already mentioned it. Until now they refer to it as the Great War and not World War One. I think it's kind of the birthplace, the modern birthplace, the modern birth of a nation, the birth of a nation. Another great movie.
Are you D.W. Griffiths? And did KKK coming to rescue you?
We are joking. Are we not? Who knows?
I mean, we are some white guys with a podcast.
Yeah, but we are not on Russia today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Weiter.
Immer weiter.
Romantic.
Yeah. So they refer to the Great War, and it seems like it is a big deal for them. For example, when you're talking about literature during that time, the British refer, let's say, poetry. The British refer to it as war poetry, whereas in Germany, German literature is referred as anti-war poetry, anti-war literature, and that's a real thing. You can look it up. There are brilliant, really pure, brilliant poems, war poems out there. I forgot the titles, but look them up. This whole documentary, it kind of shows the traumatic experiences from the soldiers. But again, I'm just sitting here in Osnabrück thinking about this. But I can imagine that in Britain, people feel very proud to see this. And I think that's my point. It is, from a German perspective, so unimaginable to be proud of soldiers, you know?
Yeah.
We don't want to start a discussion about honorable soldiers, because that's not the topic of our podcast. We will have this discussion now when we stop the recording. I'm speaking also for Niels, for the whole Cinebrüder team. We highly recommend this documentary. Please do not miss out the opportunity to watch this. Christian, thank you very much for coming over from New Jersey. So do you have like an Instagram where also fans can follow you, or Twitter?
Yes, I do. You can follow me at Christianity Springer, like the religion, and then my last name.
Okay, guys, thank you very much. If you like this first episode of Cinebrüder International, please let us know in the comments. See you later. Bye-bye.